All right, praise the Lord. And turn with me again in your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And we'll begin reading in verse 13. This is part 9, can you believe it? Part 9 in our series of the church that Jesus is building. And I have done long series before. I think the longest one I've done is 12 parts. This is going to for sure extend beyond that. But this is part 9. And let's begin again with our foundational text, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of revelation, that Jesus is the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We've been moving along in this series rather slowly. I told you that in the beginning, that we would go slowly and not be in any hurry, that the most important thing is we lay the foundation that the Lord wants us to lay, and that we not try to make any deadlines or anything, but the most important thing is getting information out, and that information is understood and received, and then we have revelation as a result of it. And last week I thought that I would be moving on to basically preaching the gospel. And once again, the Lord told me, "Don't get in a hurry. That's not where I want you to go yet." So I'm just going to obey the Lord in this. And I don't care if it takes us 3 years to get through this series. You may, but I don't. But we're going to lay the foundation that God wants to lay, and I want each and every one of you to have the heart that not only do I want to hear and understand for myself, but I want to be used as a tool of the Lord to minister to others this truth. I want to be a part of sharing the Word of God to others. So whether it's on conversations that you have with people in your home, in their home, whether it's on Facebook or wherever, that you have what you need to share with others the truth that will help facilitate the church being built by Jesus. Amen? Well, real quickly recap, as we always do, the previous message, and that was part 8. Again, this is part 9. We'll recap part 8. And part 8 was understanding mission, which is... Michael, if you bring that PowerPoint slide up. Don't have any exciting photos to share with you today. But understanding the three major aspects of the church... and it's not just understanding what they are, or that these are the three major aspects, but understanding those aspects, having an understanding of what the mission of the church is, what the message of the church should be, and the method that Jesus wants us to employ to do it. So we've been talking about mission. We had an overview on mission. Then we went into mission last week, talking about the body of Christ, the mission we have. And Michael, if you go to the next slide. First of all, before we get into that, we talked about the overall mission is reaching the world with the good news of the gospel, that God loves the world. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that was the ministry of Jesus as He came. He came so that the world could once again be reunited with the Father through believing on Jesus Christ and His shed blood for us. Go to the next slide. And we talked about the fact that we didn't have the Holy Ghost in here in any of the previous slides. The Lord prompted me to add this in here because Jesus, remember, after His death, burial, resurrection, He ministered with His disciples for a period of time, stayed with them, shared with them, and He finally said, I go to be with the Father. He ascended on high to sit at the right hand of God the Father. But He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a Comforter who shall be with you. And so, not only was there the birth of the church, the Holy Ghost has been here the whole time. He's part of the triune God. And His ministry has been a part of the world since the very beginning. The Spirit of the Lord brooded over the earth, over the world. At the time of creation, He was here through all of the great and mighty acts that took place through people who were doing supernatural things in the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost was present and giving power to do so. But He was given to the church in order to give power for the church to do the mission that Jesus told His disciples to do. So you see the Holy Ghost coming again and falling upon those in the church who receive Him in order to enable them to do the work of the ministry. So we have to have the ministry of the Holy Ghost going on during this period. And John 14:16, John 16:7, we're talking, it's where Jesus talks about sending a Comforter. He's not going to go without leaving a supernatural presence on here, that the body of Christ is not receiving instruction that it doesn't have power to perform, that not only does it have the instruction from the head and the leadership from the head, but it also has the power in order to perform what God said that we should do. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and He tells them again as He's ascending that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Last week we talked about, in part 8, we talked about body ministry, and we said that we would eventually get to the outreach ministry to the world. And that's what we will get to, maybe next time, I don't know. But we will eventually get to the outreach ministry, talking about the preaching of the gospel and our responsibility to take the presence of Jesus and the witness of Jesus to the world. But we said that the ministry of the body of Christ is twofold. It's not just reaching the world, but it was also ministering one to another. I reference 1 Corinthians 12. I reference Romans 12. But we dealt with the one another scriptures. And last week, that's what we talked about. We went over all of the one another scriptures. And we said that wasn't the only things referring to us in our ministry one to another, but those were the scriptures that definitely had the phrase in their one another. So we talked about those, and we shared those, and you had a handout to take home with you. And I hope you visit that from time to time, because that is reminding all of us of what our responsibility is in this horizontal ministry of ministering one to another. I just, like I said, briefly mentioned 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. We did look at Ephesians 4:11 and showing how the body does minister to itself and is part of that building up process that takes place. But we skipped over that, and the Lord just said to me, you can't skip over that. That's a very vital part, and I can't just reference it and assume that everybody knows what we're talking about. Perhaps everyone here does, but perhaps they don't. And definitely, we don't know, those that are listening online, what sort of understanding they have. So we're going to go through that because it is a vital part of talking about the body ministry. But as we talked about the one another scriptures, which we did last week, we said the one another meaning is from one to another. It is to be reciprocal, and is to be mutually shared or shared in common. Okay, so let's move on now to part number 9, which is we're again talking about mission as one of the three aspects. We're talking about mission, and we're talking about the mission, which is to see the good news of the gospel preached to the ends of the earth, the gospel of the kingdom, which we'll get into more when we get into the message. But we see that is where we're headed with this, that this is a mission, but also that we have this other mission to help strengthen the body so that we can be effective in our ministry to the world. So this is understanding the mission. This is part 3 of understanding the mission, and it's spiritual ministry to the body through the spiritual gifts of the Holy Ghost. So in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, we see certain grace gifts that are referenced there. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Turn with me there. I'll start in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So the spiritual gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, we see listed as prophecy. That is defined as speaking that which God reveals for the good of others. We see ministry or service. This is help or service to individuals or to the entire body. I'm just going to give definition to these terms. We'll get into it more in a minute. Then we see teaching, which is to impart instruction or to explain or to expound a thing. Exhortation. This is the same word or the comes from the same family of words that we get the ministry of the Holy Ghost, where Jesus said, I will give you another comforter. This has come from the same family of words as that. And we know that when Jesus said, I will give you another comforter, he wasn't saying, I will give you somebody who will comfort you in your defeat to make you feel good or better about yourself when you're just getting hammered in life and you know you're just a loser, but you're my loser. You know, that's not what comfort means there. It's one called alongside to help. It's an advocate. It's someone who is like a lawyer, who pleads your case, and who gives you the things to say. If you're going to court, you're not going to just stand up there and say any old thing. You're going to make sure you have legal counsel and say what someone smarter than you and knows the law more than you tells you what to say in your best defense. And how to negotiate, navigate this thing that you're going through. That's the advocate. That's the Holy Ghost. He is giving us power to do what we can't do on our own. He is an advocate. He's a comforter in the sense that we're not on our own. I feel comforted that I have somebody here that's going to help me overcome. Amen? So this word here, as an exhortation, is very similar to that. It's someone who has a gift that is called alongside others in the body of Christ. to help them and to help them get over, not just to pat them on the back and say, yeah, I know you're a loser. I know lots of losers and I love them all. Okay, next is giving. And that word means to give or to impart. You get the sense that it's more than just giving somebody something and walking away. It's making sure that they have what's necessary to continue on. You know, that whole thing about if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. If you teach him how to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. One of the comedians said one time, that's the problem, that's why we don't have enough fish, is because we're teaching people how to fish. Yeah. But it has the meaning along with that, as I see it, that as you impart something, you're not just giving them something, you're helping them be in a better place and stay in a better place. Administration or leadership is to preside over or to be in charge of. And then mercy, which is the last or the seventh gift listed here, and that means compassion. Having compassion for someone. Okay, that is the Romans 12 gifts that we had in our little thing here. Romans 12. There's also the 1 Corinthians 12, which we won't go into today. So I know we're not getting into the message part of this series, at least for another time that I preach, because we're going to go over the manifestation gifts. Those are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We won't go there today, but I'll just list those gifts to you. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. God's Word clearly teaches that we are all to receive what He gives us in order that we might be a vessel of blessing to the body of Christ. We just read Romans chapter 12 a little bit ago, and we saw that where it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are in one body of Christ, and every member's one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." So we're to use those gifts. I thought this was interesting here, that the word office in the King James, it says, "And all members have not the same office." That's not meaning office as in holding an office and having a title. We're all concerned about importance nowadays, and a title is very important to a lot of people. Give me a title, and I'll be happy. Give me an important title, and I'll be happy. No, this word office doesn't mean that. It just means job or responsibility or things done or to be done. So we all have a job in the body of Christ when it comes to ministering one to another. And there are things that we do and things that need to be done. It is our business in the body of Christ. It's something we take seriously because it's a gift God gives us, and He gives it to us so that we can share for the benefit of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which we'll get to next time in the manifestation of the Spirit, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." It's given to every man, which is meaning every person in the body of Christ, to profit withal, or the whole body. So each individual is given gifts that we might use to benefit the rest of the body. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Each one of us is given grace. And these gifts that we're going to see here in Romans chapter 12 are grace gifts. And 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister." That word minister means to serve. "Even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, Let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister or serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. God's not asking you to serve out of your own strength. He's given you the ability to do that. He's given you the grace to do it. That God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right, let's go back to Romans chapter 12. That was just letting you know that these gifts that were given, whether they're be listed in Ephesians 4:11, fivefold ministry gifts, and we're not going to go into that in this segment because it's going to come up later on as we get into the local church leadership. But it is given as gifts in order for building up the body of Christ. And then the 1 Corinthians 12 gifts, those are the manifestation gifts where the Holy Spirit manifests Himself through us in the body, through individuals in the body to minister to the body. And then Romans chapter 12, the grace gifts, and then we have the one another scriptures. So let's look at these Romans chapter 12 gifts. Many people have called these, and I don't have any problem with that, the motivational gifts. I don't have any problem with calling those motivational gifts, even though the word motivational is not used anywhere in the scripture concerning this. Just as I don't have a problem talking about the fivefold ministry when fivefold ministry is not a scriptural term either, necessarily. It's just a term that's used to describe, just like Trinity is not used, but it helps us understand the triune aspect of God. So, when we're talking about the motivational gifts, we're talking about something that comes from a teaching that I came across as a young man in my mid-20s, I guess. And it was very helpful to me at the time. And it's been very helpful to other people who have been taught it because it helps them to understand a little bit better about themselves and about others. So we'll get into this. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. The word gifts comes from a word where we get charismatic from, or charisma. It is gifts given according to God's grace. That means we didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it, we didn't prove ourselves worthy of it. God, by His grace, has given us gifts. How many of you only give gifts at Christmas time to people who deserve those gifts? If that were true, I would be the only one you gave to. Y'all got to laugh out loud so people on the recording know that I'm not making that. I am making that up. Anyway, you don't give gifts just because people deserve it. You give gifts because it's in your heart to do so, because you have love for people, and because you want them to understand your love. So God gives gifts unto men, not because we deserve it, but because He wants to love us and He wants to love others through us. So having gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, differing, we are not all the same. We must value the contribution of others. Our gifts are going to be different one to another. Our input, our contribution is going to be different. One of the biggest problems we have with people in general, but also in the body of Christ, it should never be here, but it is, not here, in other places I've been to, we expect everybody to act the way we act. And when they don't, something's wrong with them. We expect other people to approach a situation the way we would approach it. And when they don't, something's wrong with them. We don't see it as though perhaps they're coming from a different place. They had a different upbringing. They were brought up in a different family. They have different life experiences. And perhaps they even have a different gift from God. So the more that we can understand ourselves, the more we understand that we're just a piece of the pie. And what we have from God, no matter how mature it is only partial. So thank God for other people that bring other things. I've talked many times about playing football, and I've always played a position. I don't know if you know it, but on a football team, there's 11 guys out on the field on each team, 22 total. There's 11 guys out on the field at a time on a team. And if one guy tries to play all positions, he's going to be no good. He's got to play his position to the best of he can, and he's got to look out for his brothers as much as he can, but he's also got to be able to trust them. They're doing something different. You can't expect the free safety, unless it's called a called play, you can't expect him to rush the pass just like you as a defensive end is trying to rush the quarterback for the pass. You need a free safety back there in case the quarterback gets away from you and he tosses a pass that somebody's back there to intercept it or bat it down or make the tackle. We've got other people doing other things, and it's by design. If we can understand that with football, why can't we understand that in the body of Christ? We need to back off a little bit on our judgment of one another about how people approach things and realize maybe it's through immaturity they're approaching things different than you, but maybe it's just from different gifting. So we have to be aware that that's a possibility, and we have to be, because we're aware of it, we're more aware of our part that we play and other people's parts that they play in this. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So here are the gifts that are given. We see that one is called prophecy. I'll get into the definition of that, although I briefly did a minute. We'll go into it deeper as we go. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Now it's important as we go through this not to get too wrapped up in some of the things that don't really matter so much. I don't know if you realize this, but in the King James, if you see words that are italicized in there, that means that those words were added by the translators for clarity. There is no exact word to translate. So if we look at this scripture verse, and you see that all through the text, all through the Bible, where there's words in italics, they're used to help us understand. I got no problem with that. I thank God for that. But let's just look at it. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. The "let us prophesy" is in italics. That means it's not there in the original Greek. And so, whether prophecy according to the proportion of faith. So, there is that understanding, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So that it carries, it helps us to understand what's being said. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Basically, the original Greek says, our ministry, ministering. So if you have the job of ministry, then minister. If you have the responsibility and you have the gift of prophecy, then prophesy. He that teacheth on teaching. If you have the job of teaching, then teach. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it. Let him do it is not in the original text, but it's added for clarity. He that giveth with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So basically, as we go through this, we see prophesy. Let's prophesy according to the proportion of faith. In other words, you can't, don't go beyond what you know God is sharing with you and what you have the faith to do. Don't get off into cuckoo land. Don't get off into area and say, I'm just going to say it and hope God approves it. No, that's not how we operate. We have to prophesy or exercise this gift of prophecy, and I'll explain more what that means in this context more in a minute. But we do it according to our proportion of faith. So that means that we grow. As we grow in faith, we grow in our ability to exercise this gift to the body of Christ. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And that word simplicity means liberally or bountifully, sincerely. He that ruleth with diligence, that word diligence means with haste, with diligence, with care, with earnestness. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness or gladness. Now, I have always said that I will make a definite distinction between what the Bible says and what is coming from what I think it's saying or what other people have said that it says. What I'm about to get into now, we see very clearly, there's no argument, there's no getting away from it, that God gives grace gifts to members in the body for the exercising of those gifts to the building up and ministering to other members of the body. And he lists those gifts, those seven gifts. That's very plain. We don't need to argue or discuss that and whether does that really mean or is Brother Steve making that up. No, that's plain in the Scripture. There's some things that we take from that that I don't believe is pushing it, but if you're going to be one that says, I have to have chapter and verse for everything that's being said, then I don't have chapter and verse for some of these things that we're going to get into in a minute. But it does go along with the Scripture, and my life experience and that of others has shown that this seems to be accurate. So let's get into it. This is what I'm going to tell you. And I also said to you before that I don't go on the internet and I think, the Lord, what do you want me to preach on this week? And I get something, I go on the internet and find out what everybody in the world says about it. I really preach from what God has shown me by His Spirit. It may come from something I've heard over the years, but it's something that I've gotten revelation from. It's something I know that God has spoken to me about. Which part has God spoken to me about? Well, He's spoken to me about these gifts and about they're there for the body of Christ. They're there for each one of us. Each one of us has at least a gift. And they're there for us to minister one to another and to help build this body life that's going on. What part of it is something that didn't necessarily come from revelation that I can't necessarily prove is what I'm about to tell you now. So I just say all that to always keep it straight, what I'm sharing, thus saith the Lord. And Paul did that, didn't he? He's saying, what I'm about to tell you now is thus saith the Lord. But what I'm going to tell you after that is what I believe and what I, from my experience, tells me, and I believe I have the mind of Christ. But he's making that distinction. I'm never purposely going to stand up here and preach anything, thus saith the Lord, that I don't have revelation of and is not proved out in the Scripture. So I just want to share that with you. Having said that, if I thought that there was anything wrong with this, I wouldn't even share it now. Because I do believe that there's a lot of merit in what's being said. Okay, here is what, and I have gotten a lot of this from other people's resources. It's been so long ago now, I don't know who to give credit to, but I do give credit to other people for what I'm about to share now. These seven gifts can be briefly defined as, first of all, prophecy, an intuitive ability to see people and situations from God's perspective, sees what others do not see, and speaks forth what they see and hear. So if you are one who has the gift of prophecy, as spoken of Romans 12, where it says prophecy, it mentions the gift of prophecy, the grace gift, that's what that is. If you have that, You have an intuitive ability to see people and situations from God's perspective, sees what others do not see, and speaks forth what they see and hear. Next, on serving. If you have this gift of serving, if that's one that God has given you, then you have the ability to show love by meeting the practical needs of others. A server isn't a teacher. A server meets practical needs. I'm not saying a server can't teach, but their motivation is to serve, to get involved, and to help serve and meet practical needs. Then teaching. Teaching is the ability to clarify truth, not to establish truth, not to create truth, but to teach truth and to clarify truth after thorough study and research. Exhortation. Exhortation is the ability to encourage others to grow spiritually, even in the face of hardship and suffering. If you have this gift on the inside of you, a grace gift given for the body's behalf, then you are motivated to get involved and to encourage others to continue to grow, even in the face of hardship and suffering. Next, giving. Giving is the ability to contribute generously of financial and material resources for the Lord's work and for the well-being of others. It is a gift of giving, a grace gift of giving. That doesn't mean that we all don't give. It means that some in the body of Christ have a grace gift. They're given grace by God to give of their resources. And they do it, and they're motivated to do it. It's something that's one of the first things that come to their mind. How can I help by giving? Next, administration. The ability to coordinate people, resources, and schedules to achieve goals. This is someone who, whether they have a position or a title or not, it's just on the inside of them to help move things along and organize things. They're not comfortable in letting things stay in a muddle. You know, they walk in, they see things the way they are, and they're going to help get it organized. And then the last one, mercy. The ability to identify with and comfort those who are in distress. Okay, again, this is what is taught in many places. Many people have taught this. I've seen resources about these motivational gifts from people from all different denominations. It's kind of commonly used out there. It's not something you say, oh, that's just the Charismatics believing that, or the Pentecostals believing that. The Baptists don't. No, there's Baptists out there putting material out like this. This is something that many people see as, and most people agree in how this is constructed. So here's what many people teach on this. Each member of Christ's body has one primary gift and a strong secondary gift. That doesn't mean there's not other gifts that are operating in them, but there's like an order of these gifts. There's a primary gift. That's the first thing that you go to usually from the grace of God, that you approach a situation. And then there's a secondary gift. And there may be a, you know, all seven of them may be operating in a person, but they're kind of in order of how strong they are in a person. Every gift is important, and every gift is needed. We must learn to value our own contribution as well as the contribution of others. And this is what became very valuable to me as I was first taught this many years ago. Susan and I, when we were young in the church in Mansfield, the teaching came forth there for the first time that we heard it. And then it just seemed like that was the flavor of the month for a while. It was going around all over the place, and everybody was into it big time. But it was very helpful to me, because when you begin to understand yourself a little bit better and how you operate and why you operate, it should lead to you understanding others as well. And there comes a more of a peace about what's taking place when you understand your gifting and then you begin to understand the strengths of others. Instead of criticizing for somebody for approaching a situation differently than you, you can think, well, I can see God in that. I can see that person operating in that grace gift, and I thank God for it. And I hope they understand where I'm coming from. I hope they understand what motivates me, and that I also am motivated by God. And it's when we don't force everybody else in our minds or in our behavior, force everybody else to be like us. We just let people be like God created them to be in their new birth. Then we can see true ministry begin to take place. We are to grow in our understanding of gifts and in how they should best be exercised. We'll see in a little bit that there's also, anytime you have a strength, your strength can become a weakness if you don't temper your strength with other strengths. You heard that saying that if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail? Well, that's the case. You know, you begin to see there's one way of dealing with everything, and that's beating it. Well, that's accurate if it's a nail. But if it's a screw, you approach installing a screw differently, and you perhaps need a different tool for that purpose. So we need to grow in our understanding of our gifts and how the strengths, what the strengths are of those gifts and what the weaknesses are, what we need to watch out for. And then misunderstandings concerning the motivation of others can cause unnecessary conflicts. And I've seen that happen over and over and over again, where a person, say, for example, who's motivated by mercy, they see a prophet dealing with something or someone with motivated by prophecy and with a gift of prophecy. They see how they approach it, and the person with mercy, oh, they're being much too hard. They're being way too hard. They need to just forgive them and just let it go. Okay, that's a good gift, and that gift needs to be exercised. But also, so does getting to the root of things and fixing things. So you can't just all be prophecy and no, you know, compassion and mercy. And you can't all be mercy and just, oh, let's just love everybody. We got to have a mixture of everything. And we'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. All seven of these gifts should be functioning in each part of our lives. In each of our lives, sorry. All seven of these gifts, we should not just take the one that we find as we study ourselves and what God's saying. Oh, that's me. And pigeonhole yourself and say, that's who I am and that's all I am. No, we all need to grow in all of these things. The person who is motivated by prophecy, the more he grows in mercy, won't he be better in his thing that he's motivated with? And the person who's motivated by mercy, won't that person be more of a merciful and show that mercy better when they can bring an understanding of the prophetic with it? Yeah, if we grow in all these things, we'll be more well-rounded. So all seven of these gifts should be functioning in part in each of our lives. But we will have one that is the strongest and then a secondary one. Often, our motivational gifts can be altered by maturity. I'll tell you that right up now. You can have a gift, and it still be your primary gift, but as you mature and grow in life, because of your life experiences, because of things God teaches you, because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because of being in relationship with others in the body of Christ, with other gifts, because of the fivefold ministry, because of God's Word, all of those things inputting into your life, you grow and you mature. And I'm not near, as an older man, as much as I was as a younger man. Some people think, man, he's stronger than onions right now. You should have seen me as a young man. You know, I was as strong as a bag of onions then. I have been tempered over time. God has showed me there's more mercy at work in me than there was back then. But I praise God that I haven't given up, and God hadn't given up on me on the way He uses me. And it's very important that we stay in our lane, but have an appreciation and grow in all these other areas. Our situation, responsibility, can greatly impact which motivational gift we will draw upon. Don't spend a lot of time analyzing yourself or others. You know, it's important, especially after hearing this teaching, to spend time meditating on it and thinking about yourself, maybe even talking with your husband or with your wife or close friends. And, you know, how do you see me? What do you see operating in me? But then there comes a point when we just got to get on with life and stop analyzing everything and just let this happen. But we want to incorporate understanding as it's happening. So there's a balance there. So don't spend a lot of time analyzing yourself or others, and then learn to recognize the gifts and capitalize on them. Don't box yourself or others in. Don't think, well, they... You know, that's one thing, not just with these gifts, but in all areas. Give people the opportunity to mature. Don't think just because of a person... You got to do that with your children. I can think back on Jennifer and certain things when she was little and how she was, and Michael when he was little and how he was. You know what? My children have grown up. They're adults now. And they didn't stay children. They didn't keep all the things that I can remember from when they were a child. They've grown since then. But you know what? As a father, so have I. So it would be wrong for me to keep Jennifer in my mind as she was as a certain age, or Michael's a certain age. And it would be wrong for them to not let me grow up too. If we're in Christ, we're all growing, and we need to allow that to take place. That's why it's wrong to say, you always do this. You always do that. You're pigeonholing people. It's so easy to do it, especially when you get in an argument. You know, that's... That's a good way to, in your mind, win an argument. You're not only like this now, you've always been like that. You probably always will. No, let's give one another opportunity to grow up. I'm doing my best. Okay. Right, Susan? It's important to develop all of the motivational gifts in yourself and to those who you have influence with. So encourage others when you do find out their main motivational gift and you see how they tend to operate. Encourage them as well as yourself to grow in the other areas so that we can be more well-rounded. No motivational gift is better than the other one. They're all needed. That's hard to understand. When we keep falling back on this thing, I see it the way I see it. And so, this is the only thing I'm going to allow in my mind is the way I see it. We've got to mature past that. Because we're not always seeing. What does the Scripture say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? We see through a glass darkly. We don't have perfect vision. Even the one who has prophecy and can see things that perhaps others can't see, doesn't see them perfectly. We all have to grow. We all have to mature. And we realize that just because this is how I operate doesn't mean that everybody's going to operate that way, nor should they. I got to value. Susan and I are very different in a lot of areas. And there's times when she fails to value where I'm coming from and my role in bringing that. There's times when I fail to value where she's coming from and her role in bringing that. But we can get more of the mind of Christ if we understand how one another is motivated by, and let that temper things. We can grow. Amen? Many parts, one body, all are necessary. Okay, Michael, if you would bring up the PowerPoint. Here we go. This, again, is not mine. I borrowed this from somebody. I apologize to whoever I borrowed it from, that I don't remember who it was. But it was a long time ago when I did it, and I didn't keep the reference. So, but I just want you to know that I'm giving credit where credit is due. First of all, we've got the list of motivational gifts. We have how these people are motivated because of the gift, the positive impacts that those gifts have, and some negative if they're not watched out for. We don't look out for things going too far. So first of all, the gift of prophecy. Now, this, again, is a motivational gift. Is different from the manifestation of prophecy, where someone would stand up and speak. This is more of, because a person is a perceiver and they see things that God gives them, then they are motivated because of what they see. They say what they think. They declare the truth, right or wrong, black or white, quality rather than quantity. That's how these people are motivated. Okay, the positive thing is, see right to the heart of an issue. They are motivated to reveal what is true. They're not going to sit on it. They're going to let you know what they believe they see and what's true. They are concerned with revealing the other person's motives, and they have natural discernment. I have a natural discernment. What can be negative about that? Well, if they're not careful, they need to learn when to speak. Just because you know something, just because you see something, it's not always right to share it. I've run into that myself a few times. They can lack tact. The most important thing is to get it out, in their opinion. You know, it's not getting out in a way that is best for somebody to understand it or receive it. It's, I'm going to get it out there, then we'll deal with it later. They need to learn to speak the truth in love. They need to learn the proper channels of who to speak to. That's another. If we're talking about people in the body of Christ, and they're not in leadership positions, but yet they are motivated this way, you need to understand, just because you see things doesn't mean it's your job to bring it out as a leader would. So if you are in leadership and you have this gift, that's another story. But if you're not in leadership, then what's the proper channel? You bring it to the leadership. You share what's on your heart. This is what the Lord's showing me. This is what I've heard. This is what I believe is going on. You know, and then let the leadership pray over it and deal with it. But a fault could be, I know this is true, and stand up and just, I don't care what you say. I know the Lord showed me. And, you know, it can be really, really, really wrong and destructive if it goes that far. Okay, secondly, serving. They're motivated to meet the physical needs of others. Helps ministries, ushers, feed the hungry, set up the stage. They have to do something to help. Now, I'm going to say, this is one of my strong motivational gifts right here. I'm motivated that way. I have other gifts that God's given me. I have leadership responsibility. I have offices that an office that I hold. But as far as motivational gifts, and it has been since I was born again, and this is what I came to realize when I was a 20-something-year-old man, that's my lane. Okay? That's not the only one, but that's the primary one. This is Susan. Susan is motivated to help. I mean, she sees something, she wants to get involved and help. She's not interested in who's right or wrong at this point. It's not that she doesn't care. It's not that she's not going to get involved with that later. But in the initial stages, how can I help? How can I minister? How can I show the love of Christ By helping. Okay, positive is can see what needs to be done. And the negative, their motives are often misunderstood. People think they're trying to be seen or showing off. Their weakness is they're easily offended if you don't show them appreciation. I haven't seen that in Susan, but anyway, that's what it says there. I guess she hasn't got that weakness along with her strength. They look down their noses at people who don't see physical needs. Again, I haven't seen that with Susan, but I do think that I see that she doesn't understand when other people aren't as helpful as they ought to be. Because, again, she's seeing things from her thing, just like I have several of the negative things that I have to watch out for. Okay, next. Teaching. They're motivated to research the facts, the history, new ideas, details, impart instruction, and communicate knowledge. This is another one in how I'm motivated. I believe it comes second place. This is my second strongest gift under prophecy. But I'm motivated. I love to teach, whether it's the Word of God or how to hold an axe, how to start a chainsaw, whatever it is. I want people to know, and I want them to get it, and I want them to be blessed by it. Is motivated to validate truth, wants to know why, how, when, where, facts, details, and put the details in order. It's very important to a teacher. The negative, they can be really boring. Is that true? Am I really boring? They have to tell you why they are qualified to do what they do. Place a lot of importance on degrees, and that's not me, or academics, that's not me. They don't feel you are qualified. If they don't feel you're qualified, they won't listen to you. Perhaps. Not qualified in the sense of a degree or whatever, but I don't suffer fools kindly. You know, if somebody doesn't know what they're talking about, this is what you're doing. This is what I want you to do. Much detail, more than you could ever use. Hence, part 9. Great difficulty communicating the practical use of her knowledge. I don't think that applies to me personally, but easily offended and critical. Well, maybe. I'll own up to that one. All right, next. Exhortation. I really believe this is Susan's primary gift, and service or helps is her secondary. Exhortation. Take care of the spiritual needs of others. Stimulate, build up, edify. Leads the cheerleading. You're going to make it. Is motivated to be on top of any situation and not easily discouraged. If I find Susan discouraged, I know she's having a bad day. She can pull herself up so quickly. The Lord's, and she finds a way of maintaining a positive outlook because she knows we're going to make it. Negative, they often won't let you grieve. They want to fix you right now. You don't have time to go through the process of everything you're dealing with. He's going to fix you right now. Often lack empathy. It's not that they lack empathy. It's just they want to fix you right now. They empathize. They know you're hurting. They just want you to get out of it. Okay, stop hurting. Can run over or ignore the work of the Holy Spirit. They skip the process. What's the process? Well, you got to sometimes grovel just a little bit and climb your way out. It's not always a huge jump from here to there. Sometimes it's a climb. And the encourager doesn't want to waste time climbing. We need to get out of there. Easily offended if you don't do what they counsel. Is that true? Bless you, my child. Thou art deceived. Giving. But here, you know, this is fun learning these things and everything, but here's where we go wrong. aha, I got Susan figured out now. And then you're working on Susan rather than on yourself, you know. And that's kind of, or working on me rather than yourself. Now I know why he's so boring. Now I know. Giving. Gifted to make money. Money is their friend. Love to give money. It excites them. They may not even have a lot of money, but they give and careful what they have and careful with what they have. I'm not motivated by giving. I don't know if Susan is. We do give, and we give frequently, and we give. I believe we're givers that God has created that in us. I'm not motivated that way. That's not my first thought. What can I do to give? What can we do to fix this? How can I teach them better? But I also know that giving is part of our responsibility, and so we have learned to be givers. But I don't know, Susan, do you feel like you're motivated with giving? No, but we do it. She's a giver. Except when I make something and she says, why are you giving that to them? Susan, because I made like 8 pounds of it and we can't eat all that. We could freeze it. No, definitely. You're not motivated by giving. But she easily and quickly slips into that because she knows that's the character of Christ. But we're not motivated that way. That's not the first thing that comes. But praise God for those who have that. Okay, the giver is motivated to make money and to give money and from other resources, not just money. And negative, they can give everything away and not take care of themselves. The giver is offended if you don't listen to their financial advice. Debt offends them. Lack of financial planning and so on is a negative. Again, I don't know enough about that part to say whether I can see that or not. But that's there. Okay, next. The last two, ruling. This is another one that I operate in. I guess this would be like number three with me. But it's not the first thing that comes to me. They can see the bigger picture in a situation, delegate quickly. If there is a vacuum of leadership, they will take over. I've done that even before when I was a young man. If I see that nobody is taking responsibility for things, I'll get in and organize. I don't like doing it. I'm not, but I just realize it needs to happen. So that's something that is a part of me, but is not my strongest too. The administrator is great at making an almost instant evaluation of a problem, and assign steps of action to solve the problem. Delegate people to handle it, fully capable of making adjustments as they go. I see Michael in that. Not that I don't see him in others, but that's something that on the job, when we had Howell Inspection Services, Michael filled that to the T. You know, just very quick at getting in, making decisions, and taking ownership of the whole thing and making it all come together. The administrator is great. See, the negative part, the administrator can manipulate, control, or even dominate others. I didn't see that in Michael. Subconsciously, they don't verbalize their appreciation. Expect you to do your job, extremely impatient, offended if you don't obey them. They can't stand turtles. Most of that I didn't see operating in Michael. So Michael had a lot of the positives and not near the negatives, at least showing. He might say they were all down in there, but never saw it showing. Okay, mercy is the last one. These are focused on the emotional needs of others. Full of compassion, love, mercy, very forgiving. Can't we all just get along? I don't know where this is on Jennifer's list, but I know Jennifer is very much a mercy person. She's motivated. She's very, very mercy focused. Again, I'm not trying to say that's her top one. I don't know. but very compassionate, empathetic, loyal, and forgiving. Negative, totally blind to the faults of the person they're working with. Offended, if you hurt somebody's feelings, they will take up other people's offenses. Again, not all positives are there for those who have a gift, and not all negatives are there. These are just things that people have noticed over time with people. And again, I don't have scripture or verse for any of that. I do recognize a lot of it as being consistent with what I've seen throughout life and in people, in my own self and in others. And whether you agree with any of it or all of it or not, what matters is that you agree with the Scripture that those gifts are given by the grace of God to the body of Christ, and they are there so that we can minister from that gift one to another and use the gift to strengthen the body of Christ. I think it does help to have at least some sort of idea of what they may entail so that we can have a better opportunity of thinking through it and being able to come to use the gifts. Okay, we're going to end with this little word picture. Again, this is using these attributes that we just went over to put it into an application that would be easier to see. Don't cry over spilt milk. Again, I borrowed this from someone else. Actually, I've seen lots of people borrowing it from one from another. Nobody ever gives credit to anybody for it. But I am going to give credit that didn't come from me. People respond to the issues of life and to others according to their motivational gift. Example, if someone dropped their glass of milk onto the floor, here's how people having different gifts may react. First of all, the person with prophecy. I saw that one coming from across the room. That's what happens when you're not careful. You need to be more careful. The server. Someone is motivated with serving. Oh, let me help you clean that up. The teacher. Teaching. The reason that it fell was the tray was too heavy on one side. If you put the milk in the center of the tray, it has more of an opportunity to stay and it won't fall over. Exhortation. You can do it. You're not a failure. Don't let this define who you are. You can hold your glass of milk. I know it. Giving. I'll be glad to get you another drink, as many as you need. Ruling. John, would you get the mop, Sue? Please help pick it up. Mary, grab another glass and make sure that it's clean, and I'll pour him another one. Mercy. Don't feel too badly. It could have happened to anyone. I spill my milk all the time. What I want to encourage you to do, we're ending for today. What I want to encourage you to do is, above everything else, acknowledge those seven gifts that are there in Romans chapter 12 as being from God, as being given to the body, through the body, and that you, as a member of the body, ought to possess some portion of that. Okay? I exhort you in the name of Jesus to receive at least that much. Going forward in it, take the things that other people have seen by observation and put together and consider whether you might be helped by those things in understanding what your gift may be or gifts may be and understanding one another. Husbands and wives, I would encourage you to talk with one another and share. Just say, how do you see me? How do you see that I'm motivated? Initially, and then do I have any other strengths in there? Am I always boring? Look at one another, look at yourself, talk with one another, and help, because whatever is in you, if it's truly in you, then your responsibility is to use it and share it for the good of the body. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for the twofold aspect of the body of Christ and reaching the world with the gospel of the kingdom. Seeing people born again and brought into the kingdom. And we thank You, Lord, for the second aspect of ministering to the body. Being a part of seeing growth take place in not only our own lives, but those who we're in relationship with. Continue to teach us, Lord. Continue to show us. Minister to us, God. Change us to be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.